Good evening and welcome to our evening service. Where for a few moments tonight, I'd like to try to teach you something from the Word of God, which is what I do every time I get up here. I try to teach you something from the Word of God, and that's important. It's important that we learn what God wants us to learn from His Word. And so what we teach matters, and that's what I want to talk about for a few moments tonight. I want to talk about the fact that doctrine matters. And doctrine, when we use the word doctrine, that sounds formal. It sounds ecclesiastical, doctrine, but it really just means teaching. It's really what the word means. It means teaching. And what we teach in the church, what I as an evangelist teach, what the elders teach, what the Bible class teachers teach, what we teach each other, what you as a Christian teaches to your children or your friends or your neighbors, the things that we all teach matter. It matters what we teach. And sometimes people are a little confused about that, and so it's important that we understand it. And in order to talk about this, what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to look at three or four passages. Now, when I first started preaching, and I was working up a sermon, I would go through the Bible, and I would find every single passage about a subject, and I would try to squeeze them all into my sermon. And it, you could tell. I don't do that anymore. It's not that all of those passages are not important. They are. But you just don't have to squeeze them all into one passage or into one sermon. And so we're going to take a few moments tonight and just look at a few and think about what they're telling us about what we teach about doctrine. And the one I want to begin with is found here in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gives some instructions to his disciples before he ascends up into heaven. And he says to them, one of the last things he says to them while he's here in this world, is he says to them, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he begins by saying this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, he's about to say something about teaching, about doctrine, and he prefaces it with these words. And that's important. When Jesus says, I have all the authority, then the next thing that he says is an expression of that authority. And he's got all of it. Jesus is going to use the word all again in this passage, but he starts by saying, I have all authority. Now, there's a lot of situations where we encounter people who have authority. You might encounter a boss or a police officer or even a judge. And in each case, those people have authority. But none of them have all of it. But Jesus does. Jesus has all authority. And he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And if you can think of any other place that's important, I'd like to know what it is. Everywhere that you can think of in this world and everywhere that you can think of out of this world, Jesus has all authority in both spheres and both realms. He has all of it. There isn't anything that isn't under his control and supervision. God grants that to him. The Father grants to the Son all authority. And that's not just simply in terms of religion, it's in terms of everything, because eventually God through his son Jesus will bring all the world to judgment for everything, but certainly in the realm of religion, all authority. And as an expression of all of that authority, the right to command, the right to instruct, Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's a passage we use quite often because it's an important passage. It's a passage in which Jesus gives the marching orders to his initial disciples and to us as well as their disciples. We are to go, we are to teach, we are to baptize people. And making disciples, a disciple is a follower. A disciple is a student. A disciple is someone who follows the instructions of the master. Well, Jesus says, I have all the authority. Go make disciples. Go make people who acknowledge and recognize my authority and follow my authority. Go make people like that. How do you make disciples? How do you turn people into followers, students, adherents of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus says what to do. He says it right there, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Although for some reason that didn't get in there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's a participial phrase which modifies make disciples. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then he tells them to do this. Once a person is a disciple, what are they supposed to do? Jesus says, teaching them. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even in the age. Now, this is where you get to the doctrine part. Doctrine is teaching. Jesus wants his disciples to be taught. I'm a disciple, you're a disciple, we're all disciples of Jesus Christ. If we've done what that passage says and we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, then we are disciples of Jesus. And once we are disciples, what we're supposed to be doing is to be learning from Jesus. So the obligation of the church, our obligation together is to teach each other about Jesus, teaching. Doctrine matters because that's what being a Christian is. It's learning from Christ, teaching them. What we're doing right now. Well, just exactly how much of what Jesus would have us to know are we supposed to know? let me put it to you this way. If I told you to go down to the store and buy a dozen eggs, and you came back with a half a dozen, would I be happy with you? No, I would not. If you went down to the car dealership and you ordered up yourself a car and you paid the full price for the car, and they came out, yeah, they brought your car out here, and it was missing three wheels and a door, you would say, I think I want all of the car. I want all the car. You take your check to the bank and you cash it, and the cashier says, how much of this you want? I want all of it. I want every last penny. Well, how much of Jesus' teaching are we supposed to be teaching? Well, we're supposed to be teaching to observe all. All of it. All of it. And you know, sometimes people don't get that. When people say, well, it doesn't really matter, doctrine doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what you teach is doctrine. And there are people who say that. There are people in the religious world who say, well, doctrine doesn't really matter because doctrine is what divides us. This church teaches this, this church teaches this, and it doesn't really matter. Your doctrinal matters don't matter. Well, what do you think they mean by that? Usually they'll qualify that, they'll say, well, as long as you're teaching Christ, then doctrine doesn't matter. But that really doesn't make any sense because teaching Christ is doctrine. That's doctrine. Anything you teach is doctrine. You say one word about Jesus, that's doctrine. So when they say doctrine doesn't matter, what they actually mean is that some doctrine doesn't matter. Some doctrine does matter in their opinion, in their mind. Some doctrine does matter. Other doctrine doesn't matter. Now, I'm not sure how they make that distinction. I'm not sure how they go about deciding. Because what Jesus would tell us is what he tells us right here. And he says it all matters. Teach them everything. How much, Jesus, do you want us to teach them? Everything. Everything that I have commanded you. And that's where his authority comes in. The teaching that Jesus is teaching his disciples to teach and commands them to teach, that teaching is a command itself. And those things are to be observed. It's not just for our entertainment. It's not for our amusement. It's not just for show. The teaching that Jesus wants us to teach constitute commands that must be observed, and he wants the disciples to teach all of it. And it matters. Now, I make it my business, I make it my goal to constantly assess and look through the Bible and think about things that maybe I haven't taught about from the Word of God, certainly from the gospel, the doctrine of Christianity that's found in the New Testament. I'm always looking at that. That's part of the exercise the elders go through at the beginning of the year. You know, we talk about, well, what do we want to cover this year? And that's because it matters. It matters that we be teaching about everything that the Lord would have us to be teaching. And as a disciple of Jesus, you need to care about that too. And sometimes you hear a lesson on this, that, or the other thing, and you say, well, I'm not particularly interested in that, or, you know, that's not as perhaps exciting as something else, but you shouldn't think that way. If it's something that's in the Word of God, it's something the Lord wants you to know. And if it's something the Lord wants you to know, it's important. And I acknowledge, I recognize that some of the passages in the Bible that we go over, they're perhaps a little more challenging, maybe harder to grasp or understand. Maybe it requires a little more effort. Some of it is more, personally challenging because it's hard to follow. It's perhaps not as pleasant. Maybe it kind of steps on our toes a little bit, like we say sometimes. But that's part of what Jesus wants us to hear. Because when we do that, he's with us. See, doctrine matters because it comes from Jesus. It's his doctrine. It's his teaching. And when we are teaching what Jesus teaches, Jesus is with us. We're hearing what Jesus would want us to hear. We're hearing Jesus. And all of Jesus and all of Jesus' teaching is important. It all matters. We should respect it. We should value it. We should learn it. We should observe it. Because it all matters. Well, there's that passage. Now let's look at another passage. Chapter 20 and verse 28. Here, the Apostle Paul is leaving some final instructions with the elders of the church in Ephesus. He called them to him. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. He's traveling. He doesn't know if he'll ever see these guys again. He says, I got some things I want to tell you. As elders of the church, I want to give you some instructions. And he says, I want you elders of the church, I want you to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now those are some very solemn instructions. To guard the flock, all the flock. Well, that sounds serious, doesn't it? I used to be a night watchman way back in the day. I was not a very good one. I had a hard time staying awake. But they would put me someplace and they would say, okay, we want you to guard this. these cars, this building. And, you know, I never had the audacity to say, well, which ones? Which cars or which doors or, you know, because that would be stupid. All of them. I'll guard all of them. Well, how long do you want me to do this? Till the end of your shift, buddy. You know, all night long. Guard them. Guard them from what? The flock, of course, is the church, congregation. Guard them from what? Well, the shepherd, the church of God. And that's what a shepherd does. Shepherd over the flock. And the church is the flock in this scenario. Guard and protect. Watch over them. Watch over them, protect them from what? Valuable. Church is valuable. Purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where that authority comes back in again. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's his church. He purchased it. It's valuable. He's the one giving the marching orders. He's the one who has the authority. He's the one who's saying what goes. He wants you to guard his church. Guard it from what? Paul says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, that sounds serious. That sounds like something that's a threat. That sounds like something that we need to be concerned about, that certainly elders need to be concerned about. Savage wolves not sparing the flock. You don't think doctrine matters? I thought about... I've done this before. I've looked up pictures online of sheep that have been attacked by wolves. And I decided to spare you that imagery tonight. It's not a pretty picture. If you think of what a wild animal would do to a poor little sheep. But that's the imagery that Paul calls to mind when he says, your guarding is important, elders. Because some savage wolves are going to come and attack the flock, and they won't spare them. They won't spare the flock. Well, what is he talking about? What is so dangerous? What is the problem that these elders need to be so concerned about? From among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Now, man, that is what we're talking about. We're talking about doctrine. We're talking about teaching. We're talking about men who will teach things that is so dangerous and so hurtful to the church and to the individual members of the church that it's like wolves attacking sheep. That's how bad it is. That's how important it is. Men will arise speaking perverse things. And that word perverse things, it means twisted things, things that distort the truth. And when people say, oh, your doctrine doesn't matter, that sounds like wolf talk to me. Of course it matters. What we teach in the church matters. Because it needs to be the truth and not a distortion of the truth. It needs to be what is God's word and not a twisting of God's word. Because if you take the same word, the same doctrine, the same teaching, and you distort it, or twist it, or pervert it, it becomes something that's so dangerous, it can be something that's so dangerous, that it's like a wolf attacking a sheep. And that matters. You see, this exercise that we're engaged in right now, opening up God's Word and reading these passages and explaining them and talking about them and applying them because they're to be observed, that matters. Because it can be perverted. It can be distorted. It can be done wrong. And when done wrong, it can be quite dangerous. To draw away the disciples after them. You know, see, here are disciples. The disciples are supposed to follow Jesus. But sometimes they don't follow Jesus, they follow some other schmo. They follow the wolf. They follow the guy who's teaching things that are distorted and twisted. And when they do that, they're drawn away after the wolf. And the wolf is not going to do them any good. And that's why doctrine matters. Let's look at Galatians 1 and verse 6, passage often cited in this regard. I'm amazed, Paul says to the Galatians. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, you don't think that deserting Christ matters? Well, of course it matters. That word deserting means exactly what it sounds like. It means abandoning. It means leaving behind. And when you desert Christ, Christ deserts you. When you abandon Christ, Christ has abandoned you. And that's not some place that you want to find yourself. Well, what could a person possibly do as a follower of Jesus Christ that would constitute abandoning or deserting him? Well, following a different gospel. That sounds fairly innocuous. It sounds like something that wouldn't be quite so bad. That's just a different gospel. You know, different isn't necessarily bad in a lot of circumstances, is it? You know, some people like chocolate ice cream. Some people like vanilla ice cream. It's just different. Some people like hot, spicy foods. Some people like bland foods. It's just different. How bad can it be? A different gospel. A different gospel. What does that mean, different? Exactly. Well, it's really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. The actual language there, which is really not another, it actually means it's not any kind of gospel at all. Of course, gospel means good news, and the point of this passage is that somebody has come along and distorted the gospel such that it is no longer the gospel. It's not any kind of gospel, not any kind of good news. Doesn't matter what you teach, of course it does. They've distorted the gospel of Christ. And that word distort means to change, corrupt, to pervert. Is it possible to change the gospel? Yes. Is it possible to pervert the gospel? Yes, it is. Is it possible to corrupt the gospel? Yes, it is. And if someone were to change or corrupt or pervert the gospel, distort it, make alterations in it, what would it become? It would become not the gospel at all. It would become something that would cause a person to abandon Christ, to desert Christ, if they were to follow it. And that matters. That matters. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. That sounds pretty serious. A gospel contrary to what we have preached. This word contrary, it literally means next to. It's the basic concept. You know, contrary makes it sound like something that's the exact opposite. But that's not really even the idea behind this word. Here's the gospel. Here's something that's right next to it, but it ain't it. It's beside it. It's different. It's not quite the same. You know, when you go into the store and there's the stuff behind the counter and you say to the person at the counter, I want that one right there. And they say, this one? And it's not the one. You say, no, it's the one right next to it. That's the one. Now, there may be similarities. They may have some association. But it ain't what you want. When you believe a gospel that's not the gospel. It may be similar. It may have some similarities. But if it's different, if it's changed, well, let that person be accursed. Man, what you're telling me, preacher, is that you got to be real careful about what it is that you teach, you believe. And that's exactly what I'm saying. You got to be careful. You've got to be careful. And when people say things like doctrine doesn't matter, they're not being careful. And I'm not going to say that. You're not going to hear us say that. Doctrine matters. It absolutely matters. Because I don't want to be accursed. Do you want to be accursed? I don't. I don't want to be the person who teaches that different, contrary, beside, next to doctrine. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to be the person who follows that. I don't want to do that. So in conclusion, now we have to teach doctrine such that Christ would have us to teach. That is our objective. That is our goal. There's only one way to know how to do that, and that is you get your head in the book, and you stick to the book. And if you can't find it in the book, don't teach that. And if it's in the book, teach that. That's the basic principle. And that's what we strive to do. We strive to teach what the Word of God teaches and not anything else. And I hope that you appreciate it. I hope that you understand that that's what we're about. Because that's what our marching orders are to do. We should teach all of it. We have entered into a period of time in our society in which a lot of things that Christ would teach or have us to know is not widely accepted, not popular, gets you in trouble, might even cause you some real world issues. But hey, we've got to teach all of the doctrine of Christ, all of it, popular, no, accepted or no, we've got to teach all of it. And we should not, cannot, must not change it or alter it or modify it or add to it. Can't do that. And if you think that we have, if you think there's something we've left out, or if you think there's something that we've put in, let's have that discussion. Let's talk about that. I'm willing to talk about it. I'm willing to explore it. I acknowledge that I could be wrong. And if you feel like I am, please bring that to my attention. I'm not saying I can't be wrong. I'm the one who's saying it matters. You won't hurt my feelings. But if you know, if you have heard, you've heard me say, you've read the scriptures yourself, you've read it up here tonight, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't done that, then you haven't done what Jesus says to do to become a disciple. And you need to. Because he's the one who has the authority. And if you want to obey the gospel, come forward and say that you will tonight as we stand and sing.